Africa Report on Sabah al-Muslim.
Well, for this week's Africa Report, we are joined on the line by Dr. Wayne Malinga, a policy and research manager at the Public Policy and Research Institute of Zimbabwe, which is a think tank based in the city of Bulawayo. He's also a senior lecturer in the Department of Development Studies at the Lupane State University in Zimbabwe and a research associate at the Institute for the Future of Knowledge at the University of Johannesburg in South Africa. Dr. Malinga, very good morning to you and welcome to Radio Islam International. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Good morning to your viewers and also good morning to you.
Let's start with a broad discussion, reflections on development in Africa. Where are we now?
Thank you so much for that question. I think when we look at our development trajectory in the continent, there is still a lot that needs to be done, given that already we are nearing 2030, where the Sustainable Development Goals are going to come to an end. Already there are discussions around reviewing the SDGs and whether are we trying to make ends in terms of making significant strides in attaining a certain level of development. But at the present moment, there's still quite a lot of challenges. And if you remember the 2020 period, this is where we saw COVID-19 coming in and reversing a majority of the development gains that we had made, whether small or big, but it really had a significant impact. And so when we look at the current the development challenges that we have in the continent, we are still struggling with issues to do with poverty, with issues to do with unemployment. We are also faced with challenges in relation to economic growth of a number of African economies. We've also got huge challenges in relation to climate change, in relation to trade. So there is really quite a number of challenges. So when we also look at what is really transpiring is that a majority of these challenges are actually affected by the lack of political development in relation to a majority of African countries still struggling in terms of good governance, in terms of the observation and preservation of human rights. So these are just some of the social ills that come with the political deterioration that is taking place in a number of African countries. So generally, that is the overall picture. And apart from that, we've also got debt burdens in the continent. We've also got inflation, which is still continuing. We've also got health challenges. We've also got gender issues. So there is quite a conglomerate of problems that the continent is confronted with.
Now, in terms of climate, right, it's a big global issue. How do we understand Africa in the context of climate? Is Africa ready to deal with the impacts of climate change?
When we are looking at climate change, I think this is now a hotly debated issue globally. And at the present moment, Africa, as we look at the discourse itself, it's not one of the biggest emitters in relation to greenhouse gases as compared to countries in the global north. But in actual fact, when it comes to the impacts, Africa feels the impacts as compared to any other countries across the entire globe. And this is largely influenced by the development challenges that we're confronted with. Africa is highly dependent on rain-fed agriculture. And because of climate change, we are now starting to experience unreliable rainfall patterns. We're starting to experience perennial droughts. We're also experiencing heat waves. And all of these are a consequence of climate change. And so when we look at Africa, it tends to have certain challenges in relation to availability of resources to deal with climate change. Because when we look at climate change, it tends to be deeply embroiled within the climate finance architecture. At the present moment, Africa does not have enough resources. Governments have not budgeted enough in terms of responding to climate change issues. There isn't also enough resources in terms of building resilience towards climate change. And when we also look at the negotiations that take place on a yearly basis during the COP negotiations, Africa goes there without a negotiating stance because it does not have the resources. So it goes there to negotiate in order to receive something. And I think there is certain monies that have been set aside by countries in the global north, being led by the big countries, if I can call it that way, in relation to Africa accessing those funds so that it can be able to respond to climate change. But at the present moment, already we're seeing in the Southern African region how the impacts of El Nino have affected agriculture this year. And when we look at countries like Zimbabwe, look at countries like Zambia, countries like Malawi, they've already declared a disaster in terms of drought. So there isn't enough. So there really is a lot that needs to be done in relation to Africa being able to respond. Yes, I do agree. There are other initiatives that have been put in place by governments and also by development partners in relation to mitigation and also in relation to adaptation. But however, there is still a huge gap in relation to climate change communication. How do we communicate the message of climate change to local communities and ordinary citizens so that they can actually be aware of the impacts of climate change and what they can actually be able to do in terms of responding to the impacts of climate change? So I think it's quite important. And there's also a need to migrate to climate-sensitive agriculture, climate-smart agriculture. There's also a need to look at how we can also start being climate-conscious and move to green energies. So there is really a lot that Africa needs to be done. But at the same time, it is all dependent on policies. Are we able to come up with policies that are really geared towards ensuring that we deal with the impacts of climate change within our societies?
Finally, let's talk about China in Africa, the past, present, and the future.
This is quite a hotly debated issue at the present moment, given that China has made significant strides in relation to its activities within the continent, its bilateral relations that it has established with the majority of countries. And what we're seeing over time is that China is now the leading partner in relation to having established strong relationships with a number of countries in the continent. We're also seeing China being the biggest trading partner with a number of countries. I think even in South Africa, China is actually the biggest trading partner. So this is what we are seeing over time, China making significant strides in the continent. We're also seeing China having diplomatic ties with a number of African countries. It has also established partnerships with a number of countries. It's also visible in a number of sectors, from the mining sector, the manufacturing sector. We're also seeing China, even in relation to technology, and how it has made its digital footprint within the continent. And also, there are starting to be discussions on whether is China really coming up with a development approach in relation to Africa, or there are strings attached in relation to its relationships with a number of countries within the continent. And what we're seeing is that in as much as we also have got these discussions around China, it was also quite important to also look at the kind of relationship that it has created. There is a deficiency in relation to African agency when it comes to negotiations with China. Is Africa able to negotiate at the same level as China in relation to business deals, in relation to whatever prospects that China has when it comes to the development of the continent? And this is quite spread across the entire continent. However, we also need to understand what are some of the key issues in relation to Chinese activities within the continent. And so this is what we are seeing over time, that the presence of China has increased exponentially over the past two or three decades. And wherever you travel across the continent, we're seeing that China is quite busy in the transport sector, in the infrastructure sector, in the manufacturing, in the mining. It's quite there. That is what is evident. But at the same time, we also need to be well aware of whether are these intentions clear, are these intentions good for the continent, are these intentions meant to ensure that Africa is propelled to a certain level in relation to development and also being able to take itself from the current challenges that it is confronted with.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it, Dr. Malinga.
Thank you so much as well.